I want to take you to Matthew 6 this morning. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18 this morning. Read this together. I'm reading from the NIV version. Be careful. First two words, be careful. That's something that you have to be proactive about. Be careful. What is it we have to be careful about? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have been seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what it is you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, put on your perfume, and ducky yourself up, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who has seen what is done in secret will reward you. They're doing their declaration. So, I love the kids' group. So, there's a lot of things here, but it's always about when you pray, when you give, when you fast, when you're practicing righteousness. Isn't that interesting that we have to practice righteousness? That we practice righteousness. It's something that we have to work at, being righteous. Who knows, they're not like completely 100% righteous yet. Who knows, they need to practice. Yeah. So today, I don't want to speak to you about the things that you should do. I want to speak to you today about how can we change the world. I know that sounds very idealistic, but I want to speak to you today. How can you change your world around you? How can you influence your community? How can you make a difference right where you are in the situation that you're in right now? So Matthew 6, 1 to 18 speaks a lot about not doing things to be seen and to get the admiration of others, that actually what God looks at is the heart that we do things by, not what we're seen to be doing. So it's the heart that he's after in this case. In every situation in that chapter, it's about the heart. So I want to speak to you today about influence. I believe that each of you here today is called to influence the sphere that you're called to work in, that you're called to live in, that you're called to dwell in, whether it's your family, your marketplace ministry, in other words, your job. You know, you do realize that God has put you in a job to actually be a missionary there. Yeah, you're a full-time, we're all in full-time Christian work. Yeah, it's all full-time for all of us, no matter where we're planted, whether it's moms bringing up children, whether it's teaching in schools, whether it's gathering together as friends, we're called to bring the kingdom of God and influence those areas that are around us. So how do we change the world? God is moving people into places of influence in this season. I really believe from talking to others and watching what's happening in the church today, God has been moving people. He's been shifting people around so that they get to be in the place where he wants them to have influence. There are three stages that to having influence that shifts atmospheres and changes culture. So I want to speak to you today about the three stages to having the influence that you need. So remember, we're going to be doing the table thing after, so you've got to remember these things. Influence starts with the in. It starts with what's in you before you can release it to others. If you don't have something within you, then you have nothing to give to others. Makes sense, doesn't it? So how do we gain something in us that's going to be worth something to give to the culture around us today? So the actual word, so influence starts with the in before we go out. And then fluence, the actual word fluence, means a magical or mystical force, a hypnotic power, or an energy. So what we're actually looking to get in us so that we can fluidly release is something mystical and supernatural, something that is almost hypnotic, that draws people, and energy, strength, boldness. Yeah. So like when you look at Jesus, what did Jesus do? He attracted people. People were drawn to him. And he says that wherever his name is lifted up, it will what? Draw all men onto him. There's something about Jesus that draws people. They're almost hypnotized by his presence. The children loved him. The 20s to 30s loved him. The 40s to 275 loved him. So there was something in him. He was also supernatural. He carried the mystical. He carried something that other people didn't carry in those days. Yeah, and he had energy. He just kept on going, apart from taking his times out. But he was full of energy. He was full of life. You know, his whole name means the life giver. His energy was life itself. So we're looking to have something in us that looks like Jesus, supernaturally, that will draw people to us and that will have life force to change their lives and change their situations around them. So, influence, yeah? And to have and release energy and power that shifts atmospheres around you, something has to happen for energy and power to be in you. So, three stages. One, three types of influence. Well, there's four, but we'll concentrate on three. One, spiritual influence. When God, in his wisdom, makes himself known to what is around us and the atmosphere that surrounds us. So when God decides in his wisdom that he wants to make himself known, he wants to do that through us to people around us. Yeah? So he wants to use us to influence others. This happens through us. He wants to make himself known through you. So I want you to say today, God wants to make himself known through me. God wants to make himself known through me. And then look at someone else and say, God wants to make himself known through you. So look at somebody else and say it again. God wants to make himself known through you. So spiritual influence is something that God wants to do through you. From you, in you, to go through you. Second is relational influence. When you use your strength of relationship and trust that is built so that you can develop favour with people. So that's what relational influence is. When you use your strength, when you use what you have worked through to build trust in others towards you, then you have relational influence. You have something that they will listen to you because there's a trust there. Yeah? Luke 2:52, it said, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. He didn't just grow in favour with God, he grew in favour with man. Why? Because he was relational. How did he become relational? Because he first had spiritual. Okay? So there, I'm going down a little bit, I'm just abbreviating them at the moment. So before you develop influence relationally, you need to grow in spiritual influence, which will flow to men, creating a relational influence. All right. Third one, positional influence. Positional influence is authority. It's about the authority that you carry. It's about something that's been placed on you. It's what you carry. It's like a mantle. You have authority. You have authority, which means that you... It's like a policeman with a badge. That badge gives him the right of authority to go and arrest people and deal with situations that we can't walk into because it's not our realm of authority. It's not our sphere of influence. Yeah? So we're in Jesus. When we have spiritual influence in us, we will be able to operate in positional influence of authority. How do we develop these three things? One, spiritual influence. Spiritual influence is only ever developed in the secret place with God. You will not find your spiritual growth in sitting in church, listening to me, babbling on, unless you do something with it in the secret place. Yeah? I can give peace to you. I can go and bestow peace. I can go and give, because the Bible says that we can give our peace away. We can go and give peace. But unless the one that we're giving it to receives it, it's null and void. Yeah? So our spiritual life is formed and fashioned and fired in the secret place with God. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There's something intimate about being on a one-to-one with people. Yeah? You get to know them, you get to understand them, you begin to earn the trust so that they tell you all the secrets of their heart. Yeah? So spiritual influence is developed in the secret place. What you do in the secret place is how God will demonstrate himself through you in a public arena. So it's only what you gather in the secret place with God that God will be able to demonstrate through you. Why? Because it's in you. It's not just in your head. It's a heart connection. There's a spiritual influence that's affecting you and changing you and forming you to be more like Jesus. And what you gain in the secret place is what God will, how God will be demonstrated when you go out into the public arena. Yeah? So what about those who carry negative spiritual influence? There are those around. Bob Hazlett said, every societal change, every major shift of mindsets that affects the morals and ethics of society and culture in a negative way is from a negative spiritual point of view. Let me read that again. Every societal change, every major shift of mindsets that affects the morals and ethics of society and culture in a negative way is from a negative spiritual point of view. James chapter 3. If you want to turn to that with me. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Because wisdom is a person, isn't it? Yeah? Wisdom isn't a thing, it's a person. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly. It is unspiritual, it is demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice." So if our wisdom is coming from a natural perspective, from a worldly perspective, it says that in that perspective is every kind of evil practice. It says that in that perspective, there's bitterness, envy, selfish ambition, boasting, denial of truth. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Can we recognize any of that in the world around us today?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's an earthly, negative, spiritual perspective. It's coming from the earth. It's not coming from above. It's coming from a worldly perspective that James, the Bible says, is unspiritual and demonic. So, number one, two types of wisdom. One, wisdom from above. Wisdom from above, it says here, I've just lost my place. Wisdom from above. The wisdom, verse 17, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So I much would prefer to be around people that are pure-minded, peace-loving, considerate of others, submissive, in other words, they respect authority and are teachable, full of mercy. There's good fruit in their lives, they're impartial and they're sincere and they're peacemakers. I'd rather be around that kind of person than someone that is boastful, denying of truth, demonic, unspiritual, full of envy and selfish ambition and evil practices. So where does our wisdom come from? So wisdom from above, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, produces good fruit, impartial and sincere. When we spend time in the secret place with God, with the Word of God, with the prophetic Word of God, and we journal the Word of God with us, we are storing up inside ourselves a spiritual harvest, yeah, of purity. It's cultivating purity, peace, consideration of others, how to be submissive, how to be teachable. It's calling us to be merciful. It's producing good fruit in us. It's teaching us not to look at somebody else over and above others. Yeah? It's sincerity. Negative spiritual wisdom is earthly, sensual, demonic, feeling-based. How many of us go by our feelings at times? We were talking about this yesterday, weren't we? Our feelings are so strong because God has given us these feelings and these incredible emotions. And they're from Him. They're good when they come into the wisdom that's from above. When we sit and we let God cultivate our character and our heart and our soul so that our feelings don't dominate our decisions, that actually we make decisions coming from the place of spiritual influence. Yeah? So if our wisdom isn't coming from above, it will eventually evolve from another place. In every situation we're in, we have a choice where we look for help. We can either look with our feelings and go, like, if I get frustrated or annoyed about something, I cannot in that place make a righteous decision unless I choose wisdom from above. Unless I choose to go into that place and say, "Lord, what are you saying about this? What do you see right now? What are you saying? Because I don't feel very good." And if we're honest, we all get to those points. Or sometimes we want our feelings to dictate our actions. Yeah? You see a little baby being hurt and you see injustice. You're like, And yet the Lord says, which type of wisdom do we want to flow with? What way do we want to influence those around us when we're facing those situations? What do we want to bring to the table in a situation of chaos? What do we want to bring to a table in a situation where people are making hard decisions. Yeah? In the world, we're experiencing another wisdom, a wisdom that is not from God. And our whole purpose is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. We carry that kingdom. But unless we spend time receiving the influence of God, the influence of above, the influence of wisdom, we won't be able to impart it to those around us. And the negative influence definitely affects and shapes our culture. Just look at our government right now. Oh my days. You know, God is raising you up to release God's wisdom into principalities and powers. He's raising you up to shift a cultural mindset. There's a mindset that is healthy and healing and whole that he's calling you to release into culture today. He wants to give you spiritual influence through the secret place to build you into a person who carries what it takes to be a relational influencer. Because you can only bring into a relationship what you carry inside of you. Number two, relational influence. The way relational influence is built in one word. Two words, trust and trials. First one we like, the second one we don't. Trust and trials. Who likes to be trusted? How do we know people are trustworthy? We watch their lives through testing and trials. Yeah? If someone is a compulsive liar, would I trust them? Would I give them a position of responsibility over others? So how do I know that I can trust them? How would I let them have the right to speak relationally into my life? I have to know that I can trust them. We become trustworthy through testing, through our relationships. Who's ever had a relationship that's gone south, gone sour? Who's been betrayed? Who's been disappointed and hurt? Abandoned? Many others. Our circumstances. How do we respond in circumstances? What do people see is our response when times are hard? Do we go by our feelings into that negative thing? Or do we actually draw from the spiritual influence that's within us and begin to change the situation? Do people see that what we carry is worth letting us speak relationally into a situation? Or do they block us out because they think, oh, she's a bit up, you know, it's not very positive. So what is it we carry that earns us the right to speak into relationship? And I think, you know, there's so many things. I mean, each of you right now could think of things in your life that could have broken you, that could have caused you to give up, that have hurt you, that have wounded you. But if it doesn't break you, it will make you.
Yeah.
If it doesn't break you, it will make you into a person who can be trusted, and it will give you a relational influence because you've been found trustworthy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You will, from the secret place, carry the manifest presence of God and the ways of kingdom into relationships, situations, circumstances, and betrayals, and will be seen to handle life in a different manner, manifested through being trustworthy, which is developed in your character through trials and testing, and through the character building in the secret place with God. When people come to a place of trust, they then get elevated positionally. People never get promotion if they're liars. People will never get promotion if they take days sick all the time, if they're not dependable. People won't get promotion if they haven't got the right qualifications. You know, there's a process to being promoted. And God is looking for those that he can position with authority into positional influence. Like where in your life, just take a moment now and just think, where is my sphere of influence right now? Is it at home with my family? Is it in the workplace? Is it on media? Is it in the hospital? Where is it? Where is my sphere of influence right now? Because the best person for promotion is one who can be trusted. Can be trusted financially, can be trusted to keep their word, is dependable. And those people will be the people that will be elevated. If you allow God to shape spiritual influence in you, allow him to give you relational influence and trust with people, then he will elevate you with God and man with favor, as he did with Christ. Where it says that he gave, you know, Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Not just God, but man. Why? Because he proved, his character was proved trustworthy. He was dependable. People knew he was who he said he was. Yeah? He will position you so that you can influence your world. So it's time to influence the culture that you're called to influence with a strategy of kingdom that can only be found in the secret place with God. This whole thing, where we go, what we do, how we handle life, how we handle really tough situations, all comes down to what is inside of us. It all comes down to what are we feeding ourselves. What is it we're feeding ourselves? What is it that's making us strong, either in a positive way for kingdom, spiritual influence, or in a negative way that will affect everything around us negatively? You can walk into two homes that have children and know just by the atmosphere in the home what they carry toward those kids, whether they're carrying peace and order and love, and or whether it's like chaos and disorder and everything's, well, I don't feel you've done that for me, and da 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 da, you know? So it's like, what do we bring? What is it God, what is it God's cultivating in you in the secret place? So that people around you know that you're dependable. People around you know they can trust you with their heart. People around you know that you're a safe place, that you're committed, so that they will elevate you positionally, even on a one-to-one in their lives. Yeah. This isn't about jobs. This is about having position of authority,
yeah,
the right to speak, the right that carries power and supernatural influence.
Yeah.
I want to be able to speak into people's lives with the life flow of God. I want to be able to speak into people's lives with the supernatural power of heaven. I want to be able to speak about Jesus in a way that draws people to him. It doesn't push them away. I want them to know that over and above their situation and their circumstances and their feelings, there's one who loves them and one who has their best interests at heart. But unless I have cultivated that in my personal life, unless I have spent time in that room on my own, and there's times I go in on my own and I'm like, I don't know what to say to you, I feel empty,
yeah. But
I get my journal and I get the word and I'm like, Lord, I need you to speak to me today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need you to talk to me That's today, right. Because outside of him I have nothing to give.
Yeah.
Nothing. So what is your sphere of influence at this time? Who has God given you favor with? Where do you work? Who do you work with? Are you a mom? Are you a dad? What about influence with your children? How do you influence those kids around you or your grandchildren? Are you an influencer from the wisdom of above or earthly? Where is your wisdom coming from? What is it you draw from when things get tough? Because that's what people will look at. When you're going through hard places, are you still walking in a place of peace? Are you still walking with the voice of God ready to be made manifest from your heart? Because that's what it comes down to, doesn't
it? Yeah.
When you pray, go into your room.
Yeah.
Get your journal. Get your Bible. Put on some worship.
Yeah.
And begin to do war for yourself and for those around you. So that we have something to give.
Yeah.
So that people around us know we're dependable. So that we get access to their lives. And actually what we say carries life-giving power.
Yeah.
It will bring supernatural release and change and transformation. Yeah?